Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and of course today we're going to be talking about Tesla stock. We also have an update on the Roadster program for Tesla, solar pricing, we're going to take a quick look at Tesla's diversity report for 2020, and then we have a couple other stories as well. All right, so another day, another new all-time high for Tesla stock, hitting almost $649 per share today, closing at $641.76, up 7.1%, with the NASDAQ up about 0.5%. In general, I think it's best for us to focus on post-split prices, but just as an FYI, and since we haven't really mentioned it for a while, if this were pre-split, this would be a share price of about $3,200 per share. Back to post-split prices, Tesla today, when it crossed about $633 per share, crossed a $600 billion market cap for the first time. We're now less than 2 weeks away from Tesla's official addition to the S&P 500 index, so I've gotten a lot of questions on if Tesla might raise capital around that time. I've talked a little bit about this. I think either way, I'm not going to be surprised. I think Tesla's got plenty of cash on hand, and I think their free cash flow, especially in Q4, is about to really surprise people. So I don't think they need to, but at a $600 billion valuation, I mean, Tesla can raise $12 billion with less than 2% dilution. I mean, that is pretty enticing, and that has to cause Tesla to evaluate what their options would be to increase spending in the projects that they're currently working on, or perhaps to seek out more acquisitions, vertical integration type of things. Definitely not saying a merger with another car company, we've talked about that. But Tesla is kind of uniquely positioned here where they can raise that much capital at this stage in their business, and the S&P inclusion event should mean ample demand if Tesla were to want to raise capital. Now they already did this, they raised $5 billion a few months ago, so again, I don't think they need to, but if they do want to, this seems like a pretty opportune time. The other noteworthy element here of that $600 billion market cap, Elon Musk's compensation plan does hinge a little bit on Tesla's market cap. We won't do a deep dive on this today because I've already done that. Check that episode out if you want to, it'll be linked here. But Elon Musk's compensation plan does hinge a little bit on Tesla's market cap. There are 12 market cap milestones, one of which is $600 billion. The final market cap milestone is $650 billion. So we're actually pretty rapidly approaching that. Although it is worth noting that those numbers are tied to 6 month averages and 30 day averages being hit, not just crossing that $600 billion or $650 billion market cap threshold for the first time. It has to be sustained. That being said, we are rapidly approaching that. However, if we look at the operational milestones, there are 16 of those, 12 of which need to be hit for Elon to fully maximize his compensation package alongside the market cap milestones. Those are for revenue, all the way up to $175 billion in revenue, and then adjusted EBITDA, all the way up to $14 billion there. So I'm sure people know trailing 12 months revenue right now is only at about $28 billion, but for adjusted EBITDA, that's been about $5.1 billion over the last 12 months. That's about an 18% EBITDA margin, so if we look at these 12 milestones, I think Tesla only really needs to get to about $75 billion in revenue. Even just maintaining that 18% EBITDA margin on $75 billion in revenue, that basically gets you to $14 billion in EBITDA, and I would expect Tesla to actually improve that EBITDA margin as revenue scales. So of these operational milestones, again, Elon only needs 12 of 16. The quickest path there is $75 billion in revenue. That would be 4 of the revenue milestones, and then $14 billion of adjusted EBITDA. That would be 8 of the EBITDA milestones. He gets 12, and then combine that with a $650 billion market cap for the trailing 6 months and 30-day period. Then all of a sudden, Elon hits all 12 tranches of these milestones, and he's awarded the option to buy about 100 million shares of Tesla stock. $75 billion in revenue is really not all that far away. Tesla should be able to get there with vehicle sales between 1.5 million to 2 million in a year. And I think we can start to see numbers like that in 2022, 2023 time period. So it's not going to be all that far from now where we're having to start talking about, okay, what does Elon do after his compensation plan has been fully achieved? Is there a next compensation plan? Or the other alternative, which I'm sure will get a lot of discussion around that period of time, is it time for Elon to move on to a more diminished role in Tesla and put more focus on SpaceX? Personally, I don't see Elon walking away. When Tesla's at 1.5 to 2 million vehicles, it's just going to be getting started. That's going to be an extremely exciting period of time for Tesla, and I don't think Elon is going to walk away then, so I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing a compensation plan sort of part 3 or part 3 in about 2 years. All right, didn't quite intend to spend as much time on that as I did, but quickly rounding out with the stock, Tesla's volume today was actually relatively high for what it's been since the S&P announcement. I've added that to the table here as well now, so we can see since announcement, it's been about 48.5 million shares per day. Today's volume was about 54.5 million shares, so only about 83% to the average volume over the last year, but since the S&P announcement, about 112% to average. We'll continue to keep an eye on this through the end of next week. And just a side note here, I am getting a lot of questions on what I expect to happen around inclusion. So far, I have expected a run-up, but at this point, you know, I do think it's anybody's guess. I think anyone that tells you with any confidence is probably needs to reevaluate their position. The best we can do is evaluate the mechanics and make our best educated guesses, and that's what I'm gonna, you know, try to do here and continue to do throughout the inclusion process. That's what I view my role as, is just try to get information into people's hands, and what you do with that information is, you know, up to you. I'm never trying to give investment advice, even though sometimes I will share my own speculative thoughts on where things might head. On that note, there are some interesting mechanical type of things that I am researching, and we will talk a little bit more about those things as we get closer to the date. All right, so that's enough about the stock then for today. We do have an update on Tesla's Roadster program, and it may not be consequential, but for those YouTubers that were smart and actually owned a Tesla when Tesla was doing the referral program where you could earn a Roadster, unlike me, who unfortunately did not own a Tesla, therefore had no referral code to even participate in any of this, but for those owners that did, they have now had their accounts updated. Previously, the Roadsters were listed in their My Tesla accounts, but it said awaiting deposit. Those have now been updated to say referral award, which taken by itself may not be all that interesting, but Tesla has also started to email people that did not actually receive a fully discounted Roadster, but just a partially discounted Roadster, asking them to decide whether or not to claim the discounts on the Roadster before January 1st, 2021, and that's according to Sean Mitchell on Twitter. So maybe this is Tesla getting their ducks in the row to eventually start the long-awaited deliveries of the Roadster, but it could also just be them tying up old loose ends for the referral program. Obviously, a lot of people on Twitter have been asking Elon to update those statuses and things like that. But maybe a small reason for some cautious excitement. Another reason for some excitement here, we can be a little bit less cautious about this, and also something that people have been asking Elon on Twitter about, is waypoints. So Green the Only, who at this point I think needs no introduction, on Twitter yesterday said, "I think I found something," and then shared a screenshot, or a photo of the display, I guess, that shows navigation and a little bit of a section there that says add waypoint. Green says this feature still seems to be somewhat raw still, but quote, more substance than random references in the code, end quote. I don't even have a Tesla yet, and I'm already excited about the potential for that feature to be added. I feel like I use waypoints all the time in Google Maps. All right, next up here, we have an update on Tesla's solar pricing. An astute listener noted last week in the comment section that on Tesla's homepage and on their solar page, they've removed the language highlighting $1.49 per watt for their solar panel system. Instead of price on the homepage, they are now emphasizing money back guarantee. And then additionally on the solar panel page itself, they also highlight lowest price guarantee. So did the price increase or what's going on here? Well, the answer is yes and no. So if you're watching the video, here is a before and after. Before in white, yellow is after. That $1.49 per watt, that was an after incentive price. That was at the 26% investment tax credit level, which expires at the end of 2020, and instead becomes 22% only for 2021, and then barring any other changes, would become 0% for residential purposes in 2022. So of course, that may end up changing, but Tesla has gone ahead and just adjusted what they're displaying as the pricing here for their solar panels, because ordering at this point, you're unlikely to have those installed this year. So Tesla has not actually changed any of their prices. The system prices are still the same before incentives, still $2.01 per watt, but factoring in the lower investment tax credit of 22%, the new after incentive pricing is $1.57 per watt. The same thing, of course, would apply to all other solar distributors. So Tesla should still have the lowest cost solar by, you know, roughly 10 to 20%, I think, if we look based on the prices that we had pulled back in July. All right, next up today, Tesla has published their 2020 diversity report. This is the first time they've published this report. So I wanted to go through the distribution of Tesla's workforce, comparing that to the distribution of the US workforce as a whole, and also to California's. Of course, Tesla's heavier weighted in terms of their US workforce in California. So Tesla in this report breaks down their workforce in terms of what they call communities. They define that as Asian, Black, Hispanic, additional groups, or white. And they show the distribution of their entire workforce, as well as their distribution in leadership positions, which they define as director level or above, which is less than 0.4% of their total employees. How these communities are defined is slightly different than what I was able to find from the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the United States, which classifies race as white, black, or Asian, and then about 1% belonging to other groups, with about 2% being two or more races. and then Hispanic is designated as an ethnicity, which can be people of any race. At any rate, the classifications appear to be a little bit different than how Tesla has classified them here, so it makes it a little bit difficult to compare, but nevertheless, here are the statistics lined up. So for Tesla's total US workforce, 34% white, 21% Asian, 10% Black or African American, 22% Hispanic, 7% in additional groups, that's 94%, leaving 6% that was either unspecified or there as a result of rounding those other percentages. For Tesla's US management, their leadership team, again, 0.4% of their workforce, 59% is white, so much higher penetration there, 25% Asian, 4% Black or African American, 4% Hispanic, 1% additional groups, and then that leaves 7% unspecified or rounding remainder. So compared to the total US workforce, 78% of the total US workforce is white, 13% Asian, 6% Black or African American, and then 1 to 2% additional groups, and then of that total, 17% ethnicity-wise, Hispanic. As for California, again, the comparisons are a little bit difficult. About 36% identify as white non-Hispanic, with another about 23% identifying as white Hispanic. So all in total, including other groups, about 39% Hispanic. But again, it just depends on how the classification looks versus how Tesla has classified things here. So unfortunately, neither of these are directly comparable, just directionally. So Tesla's total US workforce seems to be looking quite diverse, with 60% of the workforce being Black, African American, Hispanic, Latino or Latina, Asian, Pacific Islander, Native American, Native Hawaiian, or Alaskan Native. As for Tesla's management team, it does skew more heavily white, 59%. That compares to the total US workforce at 78%, which again is not directly comparable, but from that US workforce we can conclude that the maximum white non-Hispanic percent would be 61%. That appears to be how Tesla is classifying things, so Tesla would be pretty close to being in line with that for the US demographic as a whole. But for California, again, the total percent of white was 60%, but white non-Hispanic was only 36%. So compared to what you would expect from a random sampling out of California, Tesla does seem to have an overrepresentation of white in their management team. Same seems to be the case for Asian at 25% versus 13% of the US workforce, 15% of the Californian workforce, and then again, compared to a random sampling, an underrepresentation of Black or African American and Hispanic, both at 4% there of Tesla's leadership team. On these points for Black and African American, Tesla does say that that 4% number does represent a 60% increase in representation in management, and they also note that 12% of new hires and 10% of promotions are Black or African American. Tesla also writes, quote, "Many of our programs in 2021 will focus on increasing Black and African American representation, especially in leadership, while continuing the upward trend in new hires and promotions," end quote. As for Hispanic and Latina or Latino employees, again, just 4% of management, but Tesla does note they represent 24% of promotions and 27% of new hires. As for gender, there is a big spread here, so 21% female versus 79% male for their total workforce, and then for leadership, 17% female and 83% male. But Tesla notes that in 2020, nearly 25% of US hires have been women, and that they represent 23% of promotions. At first glance, that may seem low, but if we look at the industry, Ford, for example, 20% of their workforce is women, 20% of the top 10 compensated employees are women. For GM, 20% of their global executive level positions are female. So Tesla pretty close to industry levels there, and I think we'd all love a 50-50 split, but there are just natural variances by industry. Nobody knows that better than me. I used to work with a division of about 120 people, of which me and maybe one or two others were male. Shockingly, not a lot of males in corporate retail women's apparel. For what it's worth, that 20% number looks relatively strong in comparison to the viewers of this channel. YouTube says only about 5% are female. I would love for that to be as high as 20%, but as far as I know, I don't have any control over that. So those were the things that stuck out to me from the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion report. I know people feel certain ways about these reports. I'm sure the comment section is going to be interesting today. Against my better judgment, I'll share some of my personal thoughts on this. You want to give the best person a job. I don't think anyone has ever argued that. But reports like this can help identify if there are systematic things within your organization that are preventing that from happening. And that can be unintentional. That can be something as simple as recruiting from a certain set of schools, or as we talked about, even just the location of your offices. So I think that's helpful. And then I would say also diversity of thought is important in an organization. And that may seem a little bit contradictory of the conversation that we had on Friday's episode, which is really all about having this sort of one solidified vision, having alignment throughout the organization. But I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Having that clear overall vision is important, But to get there someday to execute on that vision, there are thousands and thousands of problems that need to be solved, thousands of optimizations that need to be made, and having a workforce with diverse backgrounds, diverse perspectives, should theoretically allow some solutions or optimizations to surface that may not have otherwise. Now, should people's backgrounds and perspectives be reduced down to their race or ethnicity? Absolutely not. But again, reports like this are about ensuring that there's not something there systematically preventing certain groups from participating as much as they could be. Obviously, a lot more can be said on this topic. It's not possible to capture all those thoughts in a couple minutes here, but that's my best shot, and I know that not all listeners are here to hear me talk about diversity and inclusion. All right, last things for today, just what I'm keeping my eye on for this week. We should get some reports out of China, whether that is production or sales data on Model 3 from Shanghai. That'll be big in terms of forming estimates for Q4. And then on the SpaceX front, as I mentioned last week, Starship serial number 8, SN8, may be doing its test flight as early as tomorrow, Tuesday, December 8th. SpaceX does have a live stream set up for YouTube to start at 6 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow morning. That's 2 p.m. UTC. So best of luck to SpaceX with that if it does end up happening tomorrow. But that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for that Tuesday, December 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.